Hello, and welcome to Sentencing Practice Talk, a podcast for federal sentencing practitioners presented by the U.S. Sentencing Commission. You're listening to a special mini-series on the guideline amendments effective November 1st, 2025, and will appear in the 2025 Guidelines Manual. In this episode, my colleagues Lori Baker and Ross Thomas cover the forthcoming amendment relating to drug offenses. Other episodes in this series cover the amendments relating to supervised release, circuit conflicts, simplification, and firearms. You can listen to all the episodes in this series on iTunes and Spotify, and be sure to check out our Amendments in Brief Explainer series on our website, which covers these topics as well. Without further ado, here's Lori and Ross.
Okay, let's move on to the drug amendment to 2D1.1, and there are a couple of things that we did in 2D1.1 this year. What are those changes that are on the horizon?
So the two changes are, we've got Part A, and this has to do with function. There are kind of two key changes I'll talk about there. One has to do with the mitigating role cap. The other has to do with how we think about mitigating role in the context of drug trafficking offenses. Part B of the amendment has to do with fentanyl misrepresentation and the SOC at 2D1.1B13. Which one do you want to talk about first, Lori?
Well, let's start with mitigating role cap. That's been in the guidelines for a number of years, correct?
It has been in the guidelines for a number of years. I think it was originally proposed back in 2002, but don't quote me on that. So the way it currently works is that under the drug trafficking guideline, most offenses are going to be determined based on drug quantity and drug weight. But when you get to those really high drug quantities, there are further reductions if someone gets a mitigating role. If those individuals who have a base offense level of 38 or 36, if they get a mitigating role, instead of going down to, a 34 or a 33, they will both go down to a 32. And the minimal role sort of cap, those people that get -4 at 3B1.2, they'll be capped at a base offense level of 30 as opposed to a base offense level of 32.
So this mitigating role cap works in conjunction with the Chapter 3 reduction at 3B1.2. And when that reduction is given, it further lowers the base offense levels in 2D1.1.
Absolutely.
But the commission recognized that these reductions weren't going far enough in reducing those offense levels. Can you tell me kind of philosophically why that adjustment's being made?
Absolutely. So we collect a lot of data here. Most people that work at the commission do data, and they are excellent. And one of the things that we found is that the higher the base offense level, the bigger the difference between the guideline minimum and the sentences that judges were actually imposing. So it sort of splits once you get super high, and those differences are really large. And to account for people who have mitigating roles or have a lower level function that have lots and lots of drug quantity, they tried to reduce the base offense level for the least culpable individuals to hopefully bring sort of the guideline minimum closer to the sentences that judges around the country are actually imposing.
All right, that makes sense. So those are the adjustments being made to the mitigating role cap, but there's a further item that we're going to look at in connection with this topic having to do with function, right?
Absolutely.
So tell me the difference between role and function, because those words sound kind of similar to me.
They do sound similar, and there's actually probably a good bit of overlap. But I think the fundamental difference is that role examines, the person's relationship with other people in the criminal activity. Function really looks at what is the person doing? What type of acts does the person perform in the context of drug trafficking? So for a function reduction, you don't really analyze, is this person more or less culpable than the other people? It just determines culpability by sort of the function or the acts that they play in connection with drug trafficking.
So that's a different analysis than we do when we're looking at that mitigating role in 3B1.2.
It is a different analysis. So before, you only looked at role at 3B1.2. But when you have a case being sentenced under 2D1.1, you will first do role. So nothing changes about sort of the traditional role analysis. However, you will do a second analysis, and this is the function analysis. And the goal here is to determine which one provides a greater reduction. So if someone gets a -2 under the traditional role analysis at 3B1.2, but would get a -4 under sort of the new function analysis, they would get a 4-level reduction, right? Because the 4 is greater than the 2. We're not adding them together. The person under that circumstance would not get a 6-level adjustment. Right. They would just get
the greater of the 2.
The greater of the 2.
Can you give me some examples of what a lower level function might be?
Absolutely. So what the guidelines provide is that, right, it is generally warranted in the case of someone performing a low-level function. And generally, right, the -4 reduction is going to be reserved for someone that acts as a lookout or a courier. So like the plainly among the least culpable functions in a drug trafficking case.
Okay.
We also have a -2, and we have some sort of examples there. And the example there is someone who is distributing user-level like quantities to other people, and their primary motivation is not profit, or they're not really being compensated for that type of work. So that's the -2 example. And then the -4 is going to be sort of your lookouts, your couriers.
So we're not really providing definitions in that function analysis, but we're giving some examples of the types of conduct that may be those lowest level functioning individuals, the least culpable involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anything else we need to talk about regarding that mitigating role cap and function analysis?
I think that about sums it up.
All right. So let's move on to the amendment regarding fentanyl misrepresentation. And that's an item that has appeared in the guidelines previously. There's already a specific offense characteristic that addresses fentanyl misrepresentation, but we're making a change to the language there, right?
We are. So just to give some background, in 2018, they first created this specific offense characteristic. And what it provided was a 4-level enhancement for an individual that knowingly misrepresents or knowingly mismarkets one drug, saying it's Oxy or something like that, and it ends up being fentanyl. And the person really knows what they're selling is or distributing is fentanyl. So in 2023, the commission added an alternative 2-level adjustment. And this adjustment applies in the context of fake pills. So pills that appear as if they are legitimately manufactured drugs. And the mental state, instead of sort of knowledge, is articulated as willful blindness or conscious avoidance of knowledge that sort of that mixture or substance is really fentanyl or some sort of fentanyl analog. And it's only been a couple of years since we promulgated it, but there was a lot of confusion about that mental state, that willful blindness or conscious avoidance of knowledge. And people were trying to determine how is that really different from knowledge, and they were kind of struggling. So what the commission did is change that mental state because willful blindness, conscious avoidance of knowledge is really akin to knowledge itself. It's just an alternative way of proving it. So they lowered the mental state, and it's reckless disregard now. So it clearly differentiates these two different enhancements. And hopefully that is a more familiar standard to people, this recklessness standard, than sort of willful blindness or conscious avoidance of knowledge.
Yeah, I always struggled with that terminology. I understand that those terms were well established in case law in terms of what they mean. But my non-lawyer brain really struggled with figuring out what those things meant. So this, the terminology is more clear now to me. The standard is more clear to me. Hopefully this will clear up some of that confusion people have had in applying this specific offense characteristic.
I hope so.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sentencing Practice Talk. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify to stay up to date. If you'd like to review the amendments in brief, you can find them on our website, that's ussc.gov, in the Policymaking tab. Please be advised that the information provided by Commission staff is offered to assist in understanding and applying the sentencing guidelines. The information does not necessarily represent the official position of the Commission, should not be considered definitive, and is not binding upon the Commission, court, or the parties in any case. This episode was produced and published at taxpayer expense. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.